And away we go. It is Friday, March the 26th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. You are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. This program can be heard live every Friday morning from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m., repeated on Sunday morning from 8:10 a.m. until 9 a.m., and on Wednesday afternoon from 3:10 p.m. to 4 p.m. All episodes are on the internet at wwgh1071.com. Go under Archived Programs, and it is the first show there, all listed by date. We now turn the program over to the host, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you this week?
I'm doing great. I am Steve Whitaker, the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio, and we're also sponsored by Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect, and also Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions, so look to them for your insurance needs. This wind today out there, folks, I got to tell you, today is the day you need to tie down your trampolines. You ever see that one that gives one to people's my son had one that ended up like three roads away. They found it in a ditch, just mangled. But these trampolines, they just take off. I wonder if there'll be any UFO sightings. I don't
know. Oh, my. Well, you know, it was interesting last night when this storm came in. I could hear it all night long whistling around the house. But I was really surprised this morning when I got up and drove here. I did not see many trees down. The lawn furniture was not blown away. Normally, after a storm like that, you do. But this time, really didn't.
I've got a really heavy wooden glider swing, and also two really heavy outside rockers in the backyard that were flipped over. And I thought, wow, that wind really picked up a little bit.
It had to be strong.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I don't mind the wind. I'm not a storm person.
Yeah.
Some people hate storms. I love them. As long as I don't get hurt, I love the storm or other people. But anyway, it's great to be here this week. It's been a they're all challenging weeks, but they're also good, you know. I think sometimes your time in your week is what you make of it. Don't you believe so?
Well, I do, you know, and I believe, you know, that the weeks that are trying, I really do believe that when you talk about a problem, that's really all the time you should spend on it. You know, you're talking about it, you got it off, you let people know, and then you move on.
And you move on. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? And I think that I was thinking about something the other day that people that call themselves good, people that call themselves Christians, people that always talk about the good side of things, when they're continually talking bad, I would make you question where they're coming from a little bit, because they need to get something in order, wouldn't you say?
Well, I'm not sure, you know, in general, society right now is very critical of each other. Everybody's
everyone.
And I'm not sure why we feel the need to be so critical all of a sudden. We spent a whole day one day this week, and it wasn't even purposeful. We had people who owned restaurants and people who have been around the industry of service talking about how just rude people have been in the last month. A lady told us about somebody throwing a drink at an employee.
It's really weird, you know, at the beginning of this virus thing, people were going out of their way to be nice. You remember that? Opening doors and being pleasant. Everyone had kind of a general fear that they knew everyone had. But I think people have been penned up, and people have been, they just are getting frustrated. Do you ever notice that a dog on a chain will bite you before a dog that's not? Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make a dog mead, put him on a chain and leave him on it. And, you know, it's the same thing we've kind of been done. We've kind of been put on a chain in so many ways. I've noticed a real difference in attitude with the kids in school. And they're just, I got a grandson. It's his senior year. And, you know, this should be the funnest last 2 months of his life. He just wants done. He just wants to be done with it and move on. And it's the attitude of so many. And it was kind of difficult. But I've got good news. And I want to read that this morning. Jesus states in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 33, "No one lights a lamp and puts it in the cellar under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see its light. Your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when it is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Take care then." In other words, pay attention. Take care of, think about what you're doing, "that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be entirely illuminated as a lamp shines its light on you. I love that passage because it basically talks about good and evil. You know, the darkness being evil and the good being light. And, you know, one of those, wherever your eye goes, is what's going to affect the body, what's going to affect you and everything about you. And if you're always looking at the light, if you're always looking at wonderful things, trusting God, doing the things that we're meant to be, being the kind of people, having compassion with other people, that's going to illuminate all over the place. But if you're someone that is dabbling in another direction, that's going to illuminate too. And unfortunately, sometimes it even illuminates itself outside of the general appearance. And then I don't think that you can hide darkness forever, because light's going to come in and expose it at some time. And what I mean by that, a lot of people put on a pseudo light. What I mean by that is they put on, they make themselves look good. You've seen people like that. They really know how to make themselves look good. You know, they kiss the babies, they help little kids, they buy things, and they make sure their name's out there. They're constantly, you know, getting an award for A, B, and C. But then there's this dark side to them where they're dishonest, where they don't treat people right, where they take advantage of people, and they take care of the people that it's not going to matter if they try to expose them anyway because they're a nobody. And that's a tough thing to see. But we see it all the time, don't we? I mean, we really do. I've even been in the past in my life, have gotten involved with people that were light on the surface and very dark underneath. It's been about 25 years ago. I got so depressed over a deal that I was in with somebody, a farm deal, that totally went crooked. That I was so depressed, I almost couldn't function for a year. Because it not only affected me, it affected my children and my wife. And if it wasn't for the Lord and trusting in God, I could have gone spiral way down real fast. But it's interesting, even in this person's case, you know, regular, you know, they went to church all the time. They had this persona they put on. But then once I had a bad deal with this person, really bad deal, I found out from other people that came to me and said, oh, I wish you would have talked to me before you got in a deal with that person, because they did this to this person, this farmer, this farmer, this farmer. You know what I mean? And but you get into deals because you trust people. And I know, and I've learned in my life, that you have to be careful, and you have to know, and you have to do your due diligence to learn what someone's about before you ever get in a deal with them. Because once you're in so deep, you're in, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I would say. I think you are. Well, I don't know. Let's see. Maybe we'll take this call. Maybe this is a call for us. You're on the air with Pastor Whitaker.
There's something wrong with your sound, because all I get is a roar. I don't get any speech.
Well, it's on the air because I hear it in the other room, and that's over the radio. You try to adjust your radio.
I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I don't believe we're having radio problems, because the radio in the other room is not...
Hey, if you're hearing this well, call in and let us know.
Let us know. That's not directly wired to anything. That's just picking us up over the air.
So, anyway, I think it's important that we don't jump into things. I know that a lot of times, things, we want something bad enough that we're willing to not listen to that little voice that tells us not to do it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, because I've always found that if you find something unsettling about somebody, or if you read something that's unsettling, ask them, and you'll find out pretty quick what the answer is. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Well, you've got a background noise, Scott.
A noise in the background?
Well, it's in your radio, but you can't tune it out. I've tried two or three of my radios, so...
Well, you know what? I will take a look at that and see what's going on.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
You know, Pastor, you talk, and I'll see what's going on.
Yeah, let's do that. But anyway, I think that, you know, sometimes we get so excited about doing something, or we see the positives that can happen at the end of it, and we don't listen to that subtle warning that God gives us many times. It's saying, you know, you better step back a little bit. But no, I want it. And you know, I wonder how many of you have gotten into a situation that because you wanted it so badly, you really didn't pay attention to those warnings, to maybe the Holy Spirit talking to you and saying, you know, no, don't do this. And you say, oh, you rationalize it. You rationalize getting into things. And what happens is that inadvertently, you're letting the darkness in where there was supposed to be light. I would say that if you want to venture down a road, especially, you know, a road that involves you and other members of your family, and you truly are a believer in Christ, you're a Christian, you love God, listen to that voice. Don't let the desire of something ruin you. Because I know that that deal with me 25 years ago could have just about ruined anybody. And it's I take full responsibility for that because I didn't completely vet this person in their past business deals. And which leads into another thing that's kind of interesting because this person was had a great reputation outside of the area where he specifically worked. People that his church, he had a great reputation. He was great with kids and helping with things in the county that way. So for me to even try to defend the situation could be somewhat detrimental to me. Because, you're kidding me, this guy, that kind of an attitude. But I sat back, and I did listen to the Lord this time, and when the Lord says, Steve, give it to me and walk away from it. Give it to me and walk away from it. And I did. And interestingly enough, as I always tell you, and I always tell everyone, the truth always eventually rises to the surface. And it did rise to the surface, and you know, the Lord blessed me way beyond in multiple ways with my family, and that was a hard lesson to go through, and which leads to another thing. Don't be bitter about hard lessons and stay there too long, because in the case of a hard lesson, it's usually meant to be there for a reason that we have that hard lesson. Are we clear on air now?
Yeah.
We are?
Yeah.
Good, okay. Got the fuzzies out of the way.
Yeah,
just happens every now and then, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it does have something to do with the storm, because when the ionosphere on an FM station heats up, we're definitely heard.
What I find funny is with the FM station, when it's rainy, it goes a little further. I get better pickup when it's dreary in Prospect from here than I do when it's sunshine. And isn't that odd?
It's an odd thing, and it's like I said, you can hear us perfectly if you listen to the radio. It's just there's a little crackle in the background, and I think that's just the ionosphere right now.
In this passage where it talks about where it says take care, then pay attention that the light in you is not darkness, you know, I think that we really, really need to make sure that we protect that light, we protect that reputation. If people are going to listen to us, we have to protect it. I know I've been where I'm at now for 30-some years, and it honestly takes effort at time, from time to time, to make sure that you don't let that darkness in, or you ruin your reputation, and you ruin your ability to have anyone listen to you, to be the influence that you're supposed to be. And sometimes people, because of where we are and who we are, will take pot shots anyway. I know the station has been through some things it shouldn't have been through. And I think that sometimes, you know, even as good people, you know, it's funny, good people have a tendency to not want to jump in and make any more waves. You just want it to go away. You just want to do what's right. And the problem is, many times, because we want to do what's right and we want to just make things right, we fail to see that there are people out there that aren't thinking like us. They have a motive. They're not gonna do something in the light. So that's when I think we have to sometimes be proactive and get out ahead of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, I think so. And I think a lot of times the problem is anytime, and we talked about this not too long ago, that anytime you have any kind of public perception where people may know who you are or what you do or what it is, where it is you work, they will go after that. And there's really no protection against it. And most lawyers will tell you, if you go to them and say this, they'll say, well, you're in the public, so they can give their opinion all day long. And unfortunately, people now, more than in the past, tend to believe opinion over fact.
Yeah, I think so. Unless the facts are just really in front of them, and if the facts agree with what they think anyway.
Well, that's what it is. If you want to believe that, you will. This is why it's always funny to me. Have you ever noticed that when somebody's in trouble, a lot of times these shows will go and they'll talk to an ex-wife or an ex-husband?
Yeah.
Now, what type of nine times out of ten, what type of perception do you think they have of that person going in?
Are you talking about Jerry Springer?
Yeah, that type of thing. And it's silly when, because you know they're going to say negative things, because chances are, if they're not talking to them at that point, it's because
probably
they had a negative, yeah.
You know, wouldn't it be nice if we all had the attitude that we just wanted the best for everyone, really, just wanted their best. And that's why it's so hard as a Christian sometimes. You know, as Christians, we, true Bible-believing Christians, and that's one thing I love about our church. If you come to our church, you're going to get the straightforward truth directly out of the Word of God, and no one being ashamed of it or trying to soft pedal it so everyone will like it. The truth is, sometimes things that are true are not always easy to swallow in the beginning, but there's a reason that they're there. And but it's interesting that people will, they're not going to like everything you say and do. But if you are, if you're like this passage said, if the light is coming out of you everywhere, they can say what they want, and 10 other people are going to say, you know, that's not the person I know, that's not the church I know, that's not the people that I know. But if you're full of bitterness, if they walk in your door for the first time at church and everyone just looks at you like, are you crazy? I was trying to remember, someone last week told me that, who was that? Told me they went into a church and someone told them to move. They had paid for that seat in some fundraiser. And it's like, could you imagine such a thing? You're supposed to welcome people in. And it's just pretty interesting when you really think about that.
Well, it's funny to me that, you know, you will have people all the time who say, I don't care what other people think of me. Well, apparently they do, because when somebody takes a pot shot, they are immediately, they want to respond, they want to get angry back, they want to say this, that's exactly what that person wants. They want a reaction. And do you know how many times, everything that I know in life has a beginning and an end? You know, I don't...
One form or another. Absolutely.
And some things come to an end in a nice, calm way. Some things come to an end in an abrupt way. But you go on. I mean, I don't understand why people have a false perception in life that when they're out to get somebody, and I've seen this with marriages, you're out to break somebody's marriage up. You know these people who are out to do that. Okay, they succeed. They've broken that marriage up. Well, okay, let's say it's because you wanted to go out with one of these people. I don't know. So you broke the marriage up. Well, the person who you got out of the way, they go on, mm-hmm. and they go to work the next day, and they go on in society, and they probably find somebody else a few months later who they want to be around, and it may have been the best thing that ever happened, because why would you want to be around somebody who's willing to allow that to be broken up anyway?
Yeah, there's not really any true love there, is there?
No.
I wouldn't really say so. I think that one thing that, especially in this day and age, I think that Christians need to protect themselves and recognize darkness that can destroy their testimony in a heartbeat. You know, you can be a person out there that everyone trusts, that they know where you stand. They know that regardless of whether they agree with you or not, they care about you. And that's one of the problems I have sometimes when people put these posts out there. If you don't agree with A, B, or C, or if you do A, B, or C, in other words, if you don't think like I think, you're not a Christian. Now, wait a minute. That's not really fair, because or you're a bigot, or you're this, or you're that. You know, the thing is that anyone that I know that is a true Christian and really loves the Word of God and walks as a Christian, they love everybody. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to agree with you, you know. And their motive for not agreeing with something is not just to be mean. It's not just to be judgmental. It's, if I truly believe that you're on a road and you're in something that's going to be detrimental to you and detrimental to your life and detrimental with your, to your walk with God, shame on me if I don't say so. That's the ultimate selfish to me, to not want to say something to somebody because we're afraid of how they'll react to us. You know, true love, love itself, is always honest. There is no room for dishonesty in love. Can't be. Love has to be honest. It has to be upfront and honest. But it always has to be kind. You know, you can disagree and be kind. You can disagree and be a loving person, and they can see that. And I think that's where we need to focus and where we need to be. Don't walk in the darkness, but when you know people that are there and you truly care about their lives and their outcome, be honest, but be loving at the same time. And like you said earlier, we are so divided today in this country with this and that, that to be that coming together in honesty and, okay, I disagree with you completely. I think what you're doing is dead wrong, but I love you. And the other person says, well, you know what, I don't agree with you either, but I respect your right to tell me what you believe because you do care about me, and thank you for that, but no thanks. You see what I mean? We're not so much in that society today. People find it hard to believe that you can totally disagree with someone's lifestyle, but you can love them at the same time. But you can. Loving something has nothing to do with agreeing with everything they do. You see what I mean? There's people that don't agree with a lot of things about me, and I think they like me. At least they act like they do.
Well, I don't understand the philosophy from the person who's having something bad happen to them. And I've always said this, and it's an important thing. It's easy to be around somebody when they're doing something for you or they are in a good place. That's easy. You don't have to work on that friendship. That's just maintaining itself. Mm-hmm. If something bad happens to them or something, they're accused of something or they lose something, well, that's the time maybe they really need a friend. That's not the time when you pile on.
Absolutely. And too many times when I see people that have things come up in their lives that may be just horrible, something they did that was totally out of character or something they shouldn't have done, instead of having those people lovingly come around them and say, I know this engine's heavy, but we're going to push and try to get back on the track. You know, what can we do to help?
That's it. What can we do?
How can we support? And at the same time, though, I would say this, that when you, and I'm speaking specifically to people that claim to follow Christ, when you have someone who is amongst you that is behind the scenes, you're hearing rumors but shutting them out of a lot of underhanded dealing of this, of that, and the other, you need to go to them and talk to them about it. I think that it's very important, because what that person's going to do, they're either going to clear the air with you that what was said was not true and mistaken and ease your mind, or hopefully, well, I guess there's three things they do. Hopefully they'll recognize something wrong if they are doing it and stop it there and go forward. Worst case scenario, they're going to say, I'll do whatever I want, leave me alone. And then that's to the point that you almost have to separate from them, because into a point of saying, you know, okay, I don't want tarred with the same brush you're tarred with. And that's the problem. When people talk about Christians, there's such a wide variety of people calling themselves Christians that it's like, well, this guy says he's a Christian, and he's not like you, and you say you're a Christian. You see what I mean? And it can be that way with anything.
Well, it's funny. A situation, it wasn't a big situation at all, but it was just odd to me, happened this past weekend without saying who it was or exactly what happened was, is there was just something going on. It was not a terrible thing, but there was just a situation going on that needed to be solved. And there were quite a few people aware of the situation. And the night before the situation was supposed to come to a head, one of the people sent me a message and said, I think this situation has already occurred. And it hadn't. And I don't even know where that came from. And I shot back to them and I said, well, has it? I mean, because I thought, well, maybe it has. I don't know. I wasn't around. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, no, no, that's just what I thought was going to happen. They were immediately worst case scenario. When nothing had happened.
They're a pot stir.
Yeah. I couldn't
Some
believe it.
Some people enjoy stirring a pot. Right?
Well, I've had people call me after something bad happens and say, not necessarily to me, to them. And they'll say, well, you know, now what? Well, you figure it out.
You pick up and move on.
Yeah, what do you mean, now what? It's done. Can't unding the bell.
Cannot unding the bell, but you can certainly, firmly believe, that people can really come free of their reputation and free of where they are. I think the funniest story is one of the funny ones is Albert Nobel. You know, he makes dynamite and gets to realizing, you know, my legacy is going to be a guy that made things to blow things up. So he begins the Nobel Peace Prize. And if you ask about him today, he was the guy behind the Peace Prize, not the guy behind the, you know. And I think that the other thing I think we have to realize is that, you know, when we accept Christ in our life and trust him as being that sacrificial lamb that he was, you know, our past is separated in God's eyes from the east to the west. And you don't have to worry about it. It's gone. Doesn't mean there's not going to be consequences. You know, things that, you know, some baggage that happened. But God's going to help you deal with it. And you're going to deal with it. And he can make some of the people that I've known that have made the greatest strides in life as being solid, solid people have come from some of the worst adversity. Even some of the things they had done themselves. But there was that point in their life where they had to make that decision. Am I going to wallow in this and keep falling till I'm worthless to myself and everyone else? Or am I going to stop, surrender to God, and do what's right? And pick myself up and do what I'm supposed to do? You know, very interesting. I was thinking about this as I was reading my Bible the other day. People can say what they want to say about the Bible. But if you read it, if you really read it, and you really follow what you're told to do in there, just really follow it, you're probably going to have a pretty decent life. You're going to have a life that's not full of bad darkness and things of that nature. Doesn't mean things can't happen to you. But what I mean is, you know, if you follow what Jesus told us to do, you're going to have a good life. On the other hand, if you don't refuse to accept it, or you want to change it, I love the one where people say, well, I believe this part of the Bible, but I don't believe that part. Well, you need to believe the Bible. It's a whole together. It's not something you pick and choose from. Well, when people start picking and choosing, they open the door for those things to be totally contrary to what it says. And then their life can just fall apart from that point. And things will be more difficult. But I think everything comes back to, and I honestly, everything we do comes back to the choices we make, doesn't it?
Well, it's funny you bring this up because I was watching, I don't even know if it was a documentary, but just a show the other day on Johnny Carson. And a lot of people remember Johnny Carson, you know, famous late night talk show host. But when he left his show for the last 13 years of his life, he never did anything else. Nope. He never came back. Well, there was a guy on there who had worked on the show for about 20 years, and he said, somebody was asking him in this little piece, did you talk to him? The question was basically, why didn't he ever come back and do anything? But the answer, what was interesting to me was the answer of the guy who said, well, you know, to be honest with you, when we worked together, we were not friends. That he was aloof. He was worried about the show. That was what was always in his mind. So he didn't socialize. He didn't. He said when he left and we stayed in contact, I felt like a weight lifted off of him. And he would have dinner. And he would call and ask you how you were doing. Because he was no longer pressured. And he says that's why he thought he never came back and did anything. Because he thought he had done it. He liked doing it. He did it the best it could be done.
Did a good job and we're done.
But he was comfortable now. Mm-hmm.
Beginning and an ending. I believe in a beginning and an ending, and I know the ending is when we draw our last breath, and that's the ultimate ending, and I'd like to do what I'm supposed to in the meantime. And I think that if more people had that attitude, all things would be better. Because, you know, we can chase stuff all day long that we think is going to make us feel good. And you just don't know what tomorrow brings. Sometimes we lose people unexpectedly. I say, wow, why? What happened? They were right at the prime of this or right at the prime of that. And it's their time. They go. And I want to, when I leave this earth, I want to go with a pretty clean slate. It won't be perfect, because we aren't. We aren't perfect. We all make mistakes. And I think that's a sign of sometimes of maturity with people. You make mistakes, but then you realize it's a mistake and you make it right. Or you go to do something and remember what you did that was similar and it didn't work, and you stop and don't do it. But there's always a growing process in our life. I don't understand people that become complacent and think, oh, I'm just done with life. Life's a precious gift. And so many people have done so much. I was reading a, I'm horrible with names sometimes, so please forgive me. a lady that wrote church hymns. And she went blind in her early 20s or early 30s. And this is over 100 years ago. But her husband left her because she was blind and he just couldn't deal with it. And, you know that the further we go back in time, the harder it was for women to be on their own if they were left a widow. Because they weren't like today. They didn't have all the outlets that they have today and the ways to bring in money and different things. But after he left, she got on with her life and she wrote over 50 published hymns. How amazing is that to me? Wouldn't she have had every reason in the world? Here she is. I've been struck with blindness. The man I thought would love me and take care of me obviously didn't listen to those vows of for better or for worse. And here I am with nothing. But instead they do that. And there's so many people that you can find that in. The story of Helen Keller is amazing. But people that have had so many limitations. Johnny Erickson Tata, are you familiar with her?
No.
Johnny Erickson Tata was an unbelievable diver when she was in high school and at college age. And one day she took a dive. I don't remember the particulars. I'm thinking it was off of a pier. But she hit something and broke her neck at the base of her skull. And luckily someone was there that got her right away, got her medical attention right away. And she ended up paralyzed from her neck down. She's a total quadriplegic. The first thing I knew of her was probably back in the 70s when she was using a pencil in her mouth and making greeting cards, drawing beautiful greeting cards. Then she went on to be a public speaker, she talked at a lot of different women's Christian conferences. She's written many books. She got married later on, and she's my age, and she's still kicking and still smiling and is paralyzed from the neck down. Can you imagine? But see, it's what we do with what we're given. Everyone doesn't get a fair shake. And this is why, in a lot of ways, sometimes I have a problem with people wanting to somehow buy us out of the problems. You know, not everyone has a fair shake. You know, I look at these pictures of, does anyone ever look at pictures of Appalachia back in the first part of the 20th century up through today, actually? You're talking about poverty and malnutrition and all these things, but so many bright people have come out of that. Look at Dolly Parton, like her or dislike her. She came from the poorest coal mining situation there was. I mean, those guys, people don't realize they got paid in these chits, you know? And the mine owner would own the town, he'd own the stores, and no one got cash. They got these chits that they had to spend in his store, and it was just, it's horrible the way that many of them lived. But we don't talk about that much because it's not really something that pushes the right buttons today. But the truth is, everyone has the opportunity inside of them. God made us to have a good life and be successful. And I don't just mean money successful, but right, everything good in our mind, our spiritual self is good. And if things have been bad for you, I'm sorry, but get up and do something about it. I look at people that have, and it's this, I give full credit to God and not to myself, but, you know, losing my dad as a, when I just turned 13, and Mom never working out of the house. There's so many things that were hard at that point, but because of, I believe, God's hand of protection and guidance and the right people, and we had no money, square up, we had no money, I'm telling you, believe me. I took peanut butter sandwiches to school the entire time I was in school. If we were lucky, we got an apple. And if I wanted a little diversity, I'd throw in a piece of lettuce on that peanut butter if we had it. But the truth is, by years of learning and growing, I have a beautiful family. I really do. And wonderful children. And all of them are, the Lord has just blessed us so much. But there's people at the same point that may have gone through something similar at that age, and it's used as an excuse for their whole life falling apart. And we got to make a decision to get up and move. If you're if you're in a bad home in the middle of Marion, you're going to be 18 this year, you don't know what you're going to do. And you see all your relatives around you, and maybe they've not made anything of their lives, and everything's just yuck. Decide that you want something better and do it. Just do it.
You know, it's hard to figure out, though, because, I mean, I've known people who lived in the same house and experienced the exact same issue. And one is perfectly fine, and they go right on with life and pick it right back up, and they hardly ever mention it, and it's just fine. The other person, it haunts them all their life. Every bad thing that happens goes back to that. And you know what? I've looked at those people sometimes, and you can see that it's made them very bitter. It's made them very angry. And that has affected their personal relationships with the family they have left. It's affected their personal relationships in marriages. It did. It really impacted their life. It didn't impact the other person as much.
Scott, it's not always easy to get off the couch. It's not always easy to go above your circumstances, go above the depression. Depression is debilitating. It really is. That year after that farm deal went down that I was talking about, I was so depressed I could hardly see my way through it. And it does happen. I prayed to God. I gave the situation to God and asked Him to direct me through it, and I got up and got out of it. But we have to get up and do that. The easy route is always the worst route. You ever notice that?
Well, I'll tell you, because it's certainly no secret after the write-ups in the newspaper about the FCC thing with this station.
Right.
The funniest thing, it's on the front page of the paper, when the license was taken away for those 3 days, and then it was reinstated and all was well. But the people were coming up to me like somebody had died. Now, I've had people die in my life. That's much worse. And then, well, what are you going to do? Well, this isn't exactly, I don't get up every, I enjoy this.
But you don't get up
no.
every day. If it's gone, it's gone. You move on.
You go on to the next thing. You have other people and other things in your life. And you know what? If you really want to come back to it, you find a way back to it. It's a strange thing. But people act like, my goodness, I would have thought there was a death. And it was a weird circumstance because it was on the front page of the paper, so people knew it had happened.
I love the congregation, our church, so much, and I feel like they're family. It would break my heart to not be there. But I've always taken the attitude, maybe this is why I've survived so long in it without doing a lot of these. I've always taken the attitude that if God moves me in another direction, if this door would shut, I'll wait and see what door opens. And until that time that happens, I'm going to do the best that I can at what He's called me to do and be there. And that's just the way that's going to be. There's no guarantees, Scott.
You know what's interesting? There are a few people who do this. There are a few. But why is nobody... Okay, when something ends, there is sadness sometimes. Usually there's sadness when something ends because you have enjoyed it. Now, why can't we look back at that and say, wow, I'm glad that happened.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. What a great experience that was.
Now I'm off to something else.
Yeah, I mean, it just reminds me, people might know the name, but the first person I ever interviewed was B. Arthur. B. Arthur, first person ever, 18, 19 years ago now.
My daughter-in-law would love you. She still watches the reruns over.
And I asked B. Arthur, and it stuck with me all these years. I said to her, because she, Golden Girls was not canceled. She left. After 7 years, she said, I'm leaving the successful show, and that's why it ended. And I asked her, why did you do that? Why would you leave a successful show that you enjoyed so much? And she said, because I didn't want it to go downhill. And I said, well, what was the last day like when you had to, you know, leave? And she said, terrible, terrible. You know, it was sad because I was leaving my home of 7 years. I was leaving my family. But she chose to do that. Right. And she was happy she did it.
You know, I talk sometimes about, you know, when the day comes that someone will replace me as the pastor in our church. That day is inevitably going to come. We know that. And my greatest concern is to know that whenever it's left in good hands. You know, I don't want to be some guy that's 90 years old hanging onto a pulpit and saying, please don't get rid of me when I can't even remember my name. And I'll do it as long as they keep me there, as long as God keeps me there, I'll continue to do it. But when the day that changes, that changes.
Yeah.
And I don't love the people any less. I don't. Some of the wonderful things that have happened and stories, and you know, they molded a lot of lives, and I will love that. But that day will inevitably come. And I my goal is to leave things better than they've been.
People have a big problem with the end. And I'm not really, and I'm not talking about the end of life, but they have a problem with that too a lot of times. But it's the end. I mean, the end comes for everything. And I don't know if people really can ever fully wrap their minds around it. You know, one day you show up for work and you're a factory worker, and the boss comes in and says, we don't need you anymore. When you pulled into the parking lot that morning, you were listening to the music and you were having a great day, and all of a sudden you're shattered. Well, I can understand shock and I can understand sadness, but you know what? Get in your car and drive down to the unemployment office and see who needs help. You know, it's life goes on.
It does go on. And like I said, we can adjust to anything. We're marvelously made in that we can do that. If we're willing to do it, we can adjust. If tomorrow there's no money or anything, and I've got to say, uh-oh, I've got a wife of... it's been 43 years now. I have a wife of this many years, and I need to make sure she has a roof over her head and she's fed. I can adjust and figure out a way, even if it has to be very tight, to make that happen and not to get depressed and just say, oh, the end's coming. I can't believe people, when they lose their financial fortunes, they jump off buildings or they do all these things. It's like, you really did that? Did that money and that those possessions define you?
Well, I'll tell you, with a minute left, every time something ends like that, a job or so on and so forth, I always think at some point in those days, I think, you know, there was somebody in Doctors Park today in Marion, Ohio, who got a terminal diagnosis. And I would rather have this situation end than be given that. Although, even in that situation, you have to deal with it.
I can eat plenty of hot dogs and cheap macaroni and cheese. Might kill me. But I can always do that.
Might end up at Doctor's Park.
Hey, it's been a great show today. I want to encourage you to come to Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street. Our Sunday school is at 9:30 in the morning, and our service is at 10:30. And I encourage you to come. We've got so many programs and things which I'll be announcing at the church over the summertime to keep a lot of kids involved and people involved and just do those things that we're meant to do. And look forward to it.
Remember, this show repeats Sunday morning, 8:15, Wednesday, 3:15 in the afternoon, and catch it on the web.
God bless you all.
Listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM. From Charlie Evers.
You know, you could, too, with that electricity, if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, I never asked anybody that question.
I wouldn't even... To 40th of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln when it's the, you bring your enemies close.
That was, had you ever seen a prize like that in your life?
You mean Abraham?